Tonight we're going to look in the book of John, John chapter 15. Got a text from the pastor this week asking me if I would do the service tonight, and I said I'd be glad to. He's been quite busy the last few weeks, and so he'll get a break tonight. But I trust tonight will be a blessing to you. You know, I always pray and I always ask the Lord to help me, as we should, on what I can say or what he can speak through me that will be a help to all of us, because you never really know what individuals are going through. And I have learned this down through the years that although maybe I'm not going through a tremendous battle, someone else is, and maybe I'm going through one and someone else isn't, but everybody's in different stages of their life. But I'm glad that no matter what stage you are in your life, God can help you. And he is our help. And our title of our message tonight is Abiding in His Presence. Abiding in His Presence. And we want to begin reading with John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bringeth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as the branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You know, there's a lot in those verses. And the central focus in these verses is just simply, and there's a lot of different ways that we could approach this, but our approach tonight is just simply abiding in his presence. The word abide in these verses that I read just a few moments ago is mentioned several times, and it speaks of a relationship between Jesus Christ, a relationship between a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I trust tonight will be a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and Lord, we do pray that you'll help us tonight, speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll help me tonight. Help me to deliver what words you have laid upon my heart, that it can be a help to others. Lord, we pray for those that are here. We pray for those that are listening and those that will be listening. And Lord, we pray for those that have needs. And Lord, you know the hearts of every single person and what the need is. We do pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, will you speak to that heart? And Lord, we'll give you the praise because you're worthy. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. Notice the words in the latter part of verse 5. It says, for without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. Abiding in his presence begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've said before, and I know our pastor said it before, that an individual will struggle about salvation, and they're concerned about giving up something in their life. They're concerned about the life that they're living in, and they'll make a statement something similar to this, and they'll say something to the effect of, I just don't know that I can live a Christian life. And that's very true, because we can't live a Christian life until we have Christ in our life. And we have that relationship with Him. And then we have that union. We have that relationship and that fellowship. And it all begins with Jesus Christ. So we can't live a Christian life. And for us, as we talk to individuals that are lost, that doesn't know Christ, it's hard for them to comprehend. But once they make that commitment and once they accept Christ as their personal Savior, I promise you that life will change. And then is when we can live the Christian life based upon His help, based upon the fellowship we have with Him, based upon the relationship that we have with Him. I'll tell you a story. Many years ago, when we're talking about fellowship and relationship, Darla and I and Marshall were coming back from Tennessee. We like to go to Tennessee during the Christmas season. We like to go around Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg to see all the Christmas lights. And I grew up in the mountains around Asheville, Madison County, Weaverville, Barnersville. I grew up in those areas of Buncombe County. And a lot of times we'll go through there, and maybe I'll go by maybe where I used to live, or I'll go by the little town in Marshall. And we did one night. It was on a Saturday night. We were headed home, and I said, let's go through Marshall. Let's go through the little town of Marshall. Has anybody been through Marshall? Anybody? Darla has. How'd you like it? Well, this is a little tiny town that has one stoplight, and it blinks at nighttime because they don't run it after hours. I guess after 6 o'clock, it just blinks. And there's a river. It's called the French Broad River that runs along. They built the town around this river, and it's just a tiny town. And when we went riding through there that night, it was, I think it was like the first weekend in December, we noticed that there was a fire truck stretched across the road and had the road blocked. And I thought something was going on, and he had his flashers on. And so we stopped, and this real nice volunteer fireman came up to us, and he said, "Are y'all here for the pageant?" And I just looked at him, and I'm, What pageant? And then he proceeded to tell us that they have a pageant and they do the Christmas story. And so, of course, we were all anxious to find a parking place, and then we walked over there to it. By the way, in the month of December, along the river, it is very cold. And so we weren't prepared to stay and sit outside, but we're glad we did. So we got past the fire truck, and we went to the corner of this where this one stoplight is, and we began to watch. And they had they had a narrator that was telling the Christmas story, and they were telling about the Mary and Joseph, and they had the scenes, and they had live animals, and they had sheep and a donkey, and so they told. It was a tremendous blessing to us. I just couldn't believe that North Carolina still would close down a little town to tell the Christmas story, but it was a real blessing. They had in the city hall, they had these microphones, and they had a different choir and different singers that was singing in between the narration, and they would play the guitars, and it was just a real blessing. And so after it was over, we were walking back to the car, and we had passed the fire, station, and a lady says, "Come on in, get some refreshments." And so the refreshments were, they had coffee and they had hot chocolate, and then they had cookies, these little circle cookies with holes in them. And that's always good to me. And so we began to, we fellowshipped with them a little bit, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "We've not seen you before," and I'll kind of put her conversation short, but, she said, "Who are you?" And so I began to tell her where we're from and that we were from this area and that we were just driving through, and she asked my name, and I told her, and she said, "I know you." And so And I'm like, really? And they said, she said, now your aunt is Avril, which is one of my aunts, my mother's sisters. And she began to tell me about people in my family. And I said, well, who are you? And she said, well, I'm your cousin. True story. And so we went several years after. We would actually just drive up to go to this pageant. And so every time she would be looking for us, and every time we would go into the fire station, and she would be making our hot chocolate and cookies, and it was different because I was related to this lady, and the whole realm of the atmosphere changed because I had a relationship with this lady, and we got extra cookies, we got another cup of hot chocolate, and what I'm trying to say is, when you're related to someone, it makes a difference. Well, when we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. And he helps us through life. He helps us through difficulties. He helps us through this problem and that problem. And that's why I shared with you in the beginning how that a lot of times, let me challenge you when you go home tonight or sometime this week, write down your testimony. Write down from the, and it doesn't matter if you know, if you're like me, you might misspell a word and, you know, it doesn't matter. This is just for your eyes only. Start writing down what God has done for you. And you'll be amazed at what God has brought you through. And how he has helped you. And what a blessing that is. And our message tonight is abiding in his presence. So the key to getting through life and the cares of this life is abiding in him. And notice what he says in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So what happens when we're delivered bad news? What happens when we might lose our job based upon the economy? What happens when we start our day and everything is going good, and by the end of the day we have life is full of problems? What happens when there's not enough hours in the day to get everything accomplished that you were supposed to get accomplished? What happens when life becomes a challenge? How do we deal with loneliness? How do we deal with the problems that life generates? And life does generate problems. Well, the answer is the relationship we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer is abiding in him. That is the answer. That is how we get through life's problems. That is how we get through life itself, is remembering that relationship. Notice what I said, that this verse said that I read a few moments ago. For without me, you can do nothing. And if we don't have that relationship with him and that fellowship with him, I'll be the first to tell you, you can't get through it. But if we have that relationship and we have that fellowship, then we can get through it. And he can help us get through it. So the answer tonight is that we abide. The word abide is not commonly used. It's really not commonly used. Nowadays, it's hurry, hurry, hurry. You know, I get told sometimes at work, and they'll tell us, and I don't know who developed the word conference call, but whoever did it, I'd like to give them a good talking to, because that causes more delays than anything else. And I average at least three a day, and some of the same people that I had talked to in a prior conference call was on this one. I'm like, well, why didn't we talk about it in the last one? But you know, when we deal with life's problems, and it's all about hurry, hurry, hurry. It's we got to get this done, we got to get that done, and it's hurry, hurry, hurry. When was the last time you heard someone say, why don't you stay around a little while? When I was growing up, my mother and father used to visit all the time. They used to visit, we would visit our relatives, and we would visit people that came to church. And I was just a little fellow, so I went everywhere that they went. And I'm sure I was a big burden to them, because I was just a little bitty fella. But I remember these words. When we would get ready to leave, they would say, "Well, what's your hurry? Why don't you stay around a little while? Why don't you stay for supper? Or why do you have to leave?" You don't hear that very much anymore. We've all got a lot of things that's going on. But you don't hear the words, "Stay a little while." But you know, abide, and the word abide seems to be something of the past. But you know, we need to abide. We need to have that abiding relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if the term hurry has even corrupted our spiritual lives. You know, we have access to just about anything. We have access to just about anything. All you have to do is ask Siri. It's true. Sometimes I'll pick with Darla, and she don't like Siri. And I'll ask something like, "Siri, do you like me?" And it'll come back with something, and Darla will just look at me. And I'll say something like, "Siri, Darla don't like you. We're just picking." And Siri will say something like, "I can't comprehend that." Or something. Try it sometime. Watch everybody go home tonight and ask Siri a bunch of questions. But to abide is to stay connected with a constant connection. We need that constant connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." There's times in life that we may wonder, how can I make it? How can I do this, or how can I do that? We can't unless the Lord is helping us, unless we find our strength in the Lord. And I want us to turn to a passage in the passage of Luke. And I want to talk to you about someone that understands the word abide. And I refer to this passage a lot, and I've referred it in even some prior messages, because I think it's so relevant to today and where we need to be with our relationship with the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And we have visited this home several times, and I'd like to visit it again tonight for an application of the word abide. For an application in just exactly what Mary was doing. Verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village," meaning Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You see, Mary longed for Jesus. Mary longed for Jesus. Martha invited him in. And I think it's worthy to be noted in verse 38 because it says Martha received him into her house. So Martha invited him in, but it was Mary that spent time with him. It was Mary that spent time. Martha was very busy. She welcomed Jesus, but she came distracted. She became distracted with her busyness. Now, think about your own life and where you are in your own life, and think about the many distractions that can come up in your life. Think about the many distractions that can hinder you and hinder your fellowship. I didn't say relationship, because nothing can hinder our relationship, because once you're in Christ and once you accept Him as your personal Savior, that stays. We're sealed, the Bible says. But what can be hindered is our fellowship. And it's very easy to let things get in our way. You see, Martha received him into her home, but she became very busy with all the things that she was doing. And there are distractions in our life that can cause us to wander away from the presence of the Lord. You see, I think Martha, even though she knew Jesus was there, I think she missed the understanding of just exactly who Jesus was and what He could do. But not Mary. Mary wanted to be close to Jesus. Something else that was a hindrance to Martha, and that was the fact that she was worried about others. That's another distraction. And it's easy to be worried about others when our eyes need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. She was worried about Mary, and she didn't even see her own self and the distractions she had in her own life. If I could put it simple, Mary was simply loving on Jesus. She was simply loving on Jesus. What worship must have been taking place when she was at the feet of Jesus? Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a place of humility. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a place of obedience. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a place of affection. And notice the words of Jesus. Jesus, when Martha had come to him and was concerned about Mary, Jesus spoke the words and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But the one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away." Mary hath chosen the good part. But notice what it says. Which shall not be taken away. You know, there's things in life that can be taken away and that can leave us. But our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody can hinder it. Mary was loving on Jesus. What an encouragement tonight to know that we can be close to Him. We can listen to Him, and we can talk to Him. You know, there's times that I just simply just talk to our Lord. Whether I'm at working or whether I'm doing something around the house, and I'll just start talking to Him, and I'll, you know, He already knows my heart anyway. So why not just tell Him what's on our mind? When we're hurting, when we're troubled, when we're distracted, when things are just not going the way that we thought they should or the way that we think they should, we just start talking to Him. It's okay. can't imagine what it must have been like for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear Him talk, to hear the words that He spoke. Do you realize that He knows us better than we know ourselves? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we think we know ourselves, but we don't know ourselves as much as we think we do. But with Him, there's no stone left unturned. Mary was showing that she loved Him and just loved spending time with Him. You know, sometimes life can be so troublesome and so busy that we forget how good it is to spend time with our Lord. She was abiding. She was abiding. She was spending time. She was fellowshipping. What He was giving her was more than possessions. What He was giving her was more than wealth. What He was giving her was more than life itself. Mary loved Jesus. But not only did Mary love Jesus, but Mary listened to Jesus. There were times growing up that my dad would try to give me some advice. And you know how you are when you're teenagers. You think you already know. You think you have the answers. And then when he passed away when I was 19, my life changed. But one thing that I realized real fast, I didn't know what I thought I knew. So then I didn't have him to ask. I didn't have him to talk to. I didn't have him, well, what would you do about this problem? Or what would you do about that? You see, when my dad passed away, then I grew up very fast because my mom was there at home. And I just didn't have him anymore. But you know something? We always have the Lord Jesus. Because we have that fellowship with Him. And we can talk to Him and we can spend time with Him. And we can listen to Him. I've got several favorite verses of Scripture. But one of the ones that I hold on to is the verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And sometimes we need to be still. When I was growing up in church, my mother would tell me to be still. And she would tell me again to be still. And then she would tell me firmly, be still. And there were many times that she would say, "Wait till I get you home." Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes when we don't have the answers, we just need to be still. That's what Mary was doing. She was just being still at the feet of Jesus. She was listening. She was hearing. He was teaching. Remember, we can't do it without Him. Mary was listening to Jesus. She heard His word. You see, Martha was burdened about serving, and serving is important. But I think where Martha kind of missed the concept, well, first of all, Mary was being blessed in the presence of Jesus. And Mary had a desire to be with Him and to hear His words. And she had that desire. But Martha, you see, she was troubled. And she was serving. But what she didn't realize was that it was Jesus. Now, she knew it was Jesus. And she knew Jesus was there because she invited Him in. But what she didn't realize was He was the one that fed the 5,000. He was the one that would still the storms. He was the one that would heal the brokenhearted. He was the one that would heal the diseases. He's the one. It wasn't her work that made the difference, but it was Jesus that made the difference. The reason that we know that she was lingering, Mary was lingering, and we see her lingering in verse 40 because Martha was troubled. And Martha was, went to him and said, tell her to help me. So we know based upon that verse that Mary was lingering with Jesus. And Jesus had come and was speaking. And Jesus had the ability to feed the whole household and all that were gathered there. Although we should be busy, and we should be busy for the Lord, we don't want to get too busy for the Lord. Martha was missing the presence of Jesus. Do you realize that when we carry our burdens, and when we carry our problems, and when we carry our troubles, do you realize that we're missing the presence of Jesus? When we're carrying these burdens, the Bible says to cast all our care for Him because He cares for us. And the Bible tells us that to cast our burdens, to cast our troubles, to cast means to throw out. Not just drop, but to throw it out. And sometimes when we have these burdens and when we have these things that's on our mind, and yes, they are on our mind, do you realize that we are missing the opportunity to give them to Jesus? Martha was missing the opportunity to spend time with Jesus. Jesus spoke and said this, "One thing that is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away." One thing that is needful for us tonight is to spend time with Jesus. That is needful. And when we spend time with Jesus, it'll not be taken away. Abiding with Him. Nothing is any more important than spending time with Jesus, and as the Bible says, that good part. The good part. How can we get through life? Remember, the Bible says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." We have to abide in Him. That's how we get through it. That's how we get through the problems in life, whether it be with your job or your home or whatever problems are, just life itself, is that relationship and that fellowship and that spending time with Him. Let me tell you something. There is no problem. There's no trial. There's no situation that our Lord can't help us through. We may have to go through them, but He can help us through them because we have that relationship. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, ye can do nothing. We can't do it without Him. And as we go through these trials in life, we are bringing forth fruit because we can help someone else through those trials. We can help someone else through these difficulties. And we don't like going through them. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't like going through them. But once I get through, I look back, and that's the reason I challenge you to write your testimony, just for your eyes only, and think of how many things God has helped us through. Abiding in Him. We're going to have prayer and have an invitation, and I want to challenge you tonight that if you just want to come to talk to our Lord about whatever it is on your mind, won't you come and just talk to Him? And sometimes we let things get in our way, and sometimes we just need to have that fellowship. Just like my cousin that I met, that I didn't even know she was there. Because I was related, the second go around, I got a little extra cookies. You know, because we have that relationship with our Lord. Sometimes He gives us just a little extra. And for that, I'm grateful. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for our time together. And oh, how Mary can teach us so much. She can teach us so much, realizing that You have power over everything. Realizing that You're the one that we need to spend time with. You're the one that we need to have that fellowship with. You're the one. Help us to realize, Lord, we cannot do it without You. May it start in our lives tonight. May it start in our lives tonight, realizing that we need You every hour. So, Father, I pray that You'll bless this invitation. Bless those that are listening. And bless those that are here as the altars open. If You've spoken to someone's heart, may they come tonight. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.